You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Yesterday, the attention was on the terrorist attack in Turkey, and we do have an update there. The death count is now 36, with over 239 people injured. The death count will probably be going up. I've changed that number at least two or three times on yesterday's post. Initially, it was reported that 50 were dead, and now it's fortunately now a much somewhat lower number, but we have a lot more injured reported, and usually, unfortunately, some of those people are just not going to make it, especially if they were near the bomb blast. You notice in the news that they're not talking about gun control, and they're certainly not talking about bomb control. You see, the hypocrites, the phonies, the liars, our president, Hillary Clinton, think the problem is guns. No, the problem is not guns. The problem is radical Islamic terrorists, and that's exactly what happened in Turkey, and it's exactly what happened in the United States several times. It's about time that the press out the problem. We have a president that is more concerned with Islam than he is with the American people. We are facing a threat, radical Islam, and unfortunately, the government is penetrated by members of the Muslim Brotherhood. And I hope Donald Trump gets elected and cleans out this federal government. We need a thorough, complete house cleaning. There's something basically wrong with President Obama and his rather pathetic covering up of what's going on, calling it workplace violence, saying we don't know what they intended. When they get on a telephone and say, I'm an Islamic warrior and pledge allegiance to the Islamic State, I don't think there's much doubt there what's motivating them. There's something basically rotten in the White House, and it starts at the top, and that's President Obama and Hillary Clinton. Remember, Mr. President, you swore an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, and you're betraying it by throwing the borders open. And Hillary Clinton has announced that she's going to continue that policy. She's not qualified. She doesn't deserve to be president. She's disqualified herself many times. So that was the attention yesterday on the terrorist attack in Turkey. You see, who were the primary victims there? People of the Islamic faith. I say that to make a very important point. There are over 1,600 million Muslims in the world. Problem is, and there are varying estimates on that, anywhere from 10 to 20% are radical Islamists. And of those, a small percentage, but a significant percentage, become terrorists, become radicalized. That's the enemy. It's not Islam. The American people understand that. But we have a president that's unwilling to tell the truth. We have an habitual liar in the president and Hillary Clinton. The American people in November will not give President Obama his third term. The more and more I look at this, Donald Trump is on the verge of a landslide victory come November. And the reason I say that is he gave a speech yesterday. Now, the big lie media that really doesn't like Donald Trump, and that's about 95%, they're all in for Hillary, just like they were all in for President Obama in 2008 and 2012. They laughed at him because he gave the speech where the backdrop were big bales of crushed aluminum cans, primarily. He was in a factory where the owner is hanging on, trying to compete. And the biggest thing that this press can say in laughing at where he gave the speech, the problem they have is the speech was outstanding. And it was on economic policy and how to make America wealthy again. Now, what I'm going to do is play excerpts from the speech. I would like to play the whole speech, but I simply don't have the time. And I'll interrupt it with my comments. And there are a few things that I disagree with, but only a few. Generally, I agree with them. But I do want to correct the record because he refers to Abraham Lincoln. He doesn't know his history. Or if he knows it, he doesn't want you to know the history. Abraham Lincoln, one of the first things he did, he was a bought-and-pay politician, folks. Bought-and-pay by Northern industry. They passed the Morrell Tariff that increased tariffs to the highest level that the United States had up to then, 47%. Who did it hurt? The South. See, the Civil War was not about slavery. It was about taxation. That's why the South left the Union. They were being screwed, if you will, by the North. With protectionist tariffs. Oh, yes, Lincoln was the first Republican president, but he caused the Civil War by passing this bill, in other words, paying off the industrial interests, primarily in the North, that wanted these high tariffs. As a result, the United States fought a civil war, a bloody civil war, and hundreds of thousands of Americans on both sides died. I don't think we want to raise tariffs to make America great again, Mr. Trump. And I'm getting a little bit concerned. I'm for free trade. I'm also for fair trade. But the answer is not higher tariffs. That's protectionism. It protects industries, but it costs the American people and consumer money. A tariff is a tax. There are better ways to do this. What you want to do is attract industry back into the United States. And that means doing away with the income tax system that we have and go to a broad-based consumption tax where there's no tax on income, personal, corporate, state, gift, capital gains at all. The only tax is on consumption. And that would mean no tax on capital and no tax on labor. That's how you bring back industry to the United States, not by imposing another tax on American consumers, lower their standards of living. And that's what I'm sensing maybe that you want to do when you quote both Hamilton and Abraham Lincoln. I know what's going on here. The American people might be fooled, but I'm not fooled. You better get straight as to what you need to do. You need to lower taxes, and you have, at best, a B plan doing it. But the answer is not tariffs. If you want to get back at China, who is cheating, I agree with you there, you pursue what they're doing with their currency. You don't slap a huge tariff on imports from China. That would lower the standard of living of all Americans, and the American consumer one won't stand for it, and you'll never get it through Congress. So you better wake up as to the significant benefits of a broad-based consumption tax versus what you're doing and the Republicans are doing in Congress, tinkering with the income tax system. The problem with that is once you lose control of the House and the Senate, the Democrats will come back and reinstitute the high taxes. You need to do away with the income tax system and replace it with a broad-based consumption tax. The reason I'm saying this up front, because I'm pressed for time, but that's the one area I cringe when he seems to go on his rant. You know, we want free trade, but fair trade. So do I. But the answer is not slapping a large tariff on Mexico, China, or Japan. There are other ways to accomplish what you want. I think what you want and the American people want is a booming economy that encourages capital formation, business formation. And that means to have a tax system that's the envy of the world. And that would attract back most, if not all, of the profits that American multinationals have abroad, as well as foreign capital. Economic incentives are key to turning around this country. And that means taxes. Taxes can be used as an incentive or in a disincentive. The answer is not tariffs. Oh, the Republican Party has a long history of supporting that. And what did it give us? The Civil War, when we upped it to 47%, and then under Hoover, went along with Smoot-Hawley, and that gave us the Great Depression, not only in the United States, but in the world when tariffs were increased. You see, the American people benefit from free trade with low-cost goods from around the world. The problem is industries that can't compete with foreign industry go out of business. That's the world we live in. It's global competition. The answer is not to protect by slapping on high tariffs so inefficient, high-priced American firms become competitive. We fought a civil war over that. We went into a worldwide recession when the United States, in its infinite stupidity, and a Republican president signed the bill, upped the tariffs. You better review your basic economics, Mr. Trump. You know that tax policy has impacts. You were in the real estate industry, and you understand that. But all Americans, or virtually all, do not like the income tax system. It's too complex, and the rich and the large corporations can afford to hire the advice and structure their affairs so they don't get hurt by it. And that's what you do, and that's what many people do in real estate and other industries. What you need to do is make taxes not a consideration in terms of a business decision. And that means going to a broad-based consumption tax, such as the fair tax, or my version of it, fair tax less, which I don't have time to go over, but it would replace all federal tax with one tax of 20% on all final retail goods that people, goods and services they purchase. And it will not hurt the poor because every American would pay the 20%, but every American would also get a prebate of $1,000 a month, and that means up to $60,000 of goods and services that you purchase would be tax-free because it's an offset. You need to get smart on taxes. You need to get real smart on the consumption tax because I'm tired of Republicans, and you're making the same mistake as the Republicans are doing in Congress today, tweaking the income tax system. It should be thrown in the trash. It's legacy. And that doesn't mean it's good. It's rotten to the core. And it's costing U.S. businesses over $500 billion a year just to comply with it. It's inefficient. It's too complicated. It's unfair. It's a disaster. So get off this tariff kick, this protectionist kick, and start wising up. The answer is staring you right in the face. And it's based on solid economic research, and a broad base of the American people support it, including those in Congress. We need a championing for it. I was hoping you would be this, but you keep swerving into this. We need free trade, I agree, and we need fair trade, and then the next sentence, well, I'll slap a 35% tariff on them. Gee, who's going to pay that? Oh, the American consumer. Really? That's a winner. No, it's not. It's a loser. Wake up. Do your homework. Get some solid economic advice because this is not a winner. More or less everything else you want, I cheer you. But what has a lot of people concerned, including your friend Kudlow, is this protectionist aspect of your policy. And I'm getting a little bit concerned about it myself. See, I laugh at this, and I know what happens. You get captured by experts, your advisors, and they convince you that what they're recommending is that's a winner. They all have a big investment in income taxes. All they can tweak it to the forever. And that's the problem. Businessmen, and you know this, don't like uncertainty. And what does Congress do every time they're in session? They tweak the tax code, and it drives people nuts, and it results in losses. You're well aware of what happened in real estate in the 80s. I don't think I need to remind you. You testified amongst some of these committees. You need to get religion, and that religion is a broad-based consumption tax. There are a lot of experts you can consult But that is the answer, because that would attract investment worldwide to the United States if the United States had one tax, a consumption tax. No more income taxes. We're doing away with all federal taxes and replacing it with one single consumption tax. That's how, there are several things to do, but that's how you make America wealthy again. That's how you make America great again. And that's how you get elected president. And it's not too late to change your tax policy. Nothing is engraved in stone. And you're well aware that what they're trying to do in Congress, I heard Congressman Brady, he's from Texas, telling us what the Republicans have in mind. And I'm saying, well, that's all terrific. But there's one problem with it that you're overlooking. The next time the Democrats get control, they're going to scrap it. And that has been the problem. Once the American people fall in love with the consumption tax, and they will fall in love with the consumption tax, there's no way that they'll go back to this lousy, complicated, inefficient drag on the U.S. economy called the income tax. And it would abolish the IRS. You need a much smaller group that's basically just getting the tax money from the state. Every retailer, and they do it already, send the sales tax that they collect to the state, and now they would send the consumption tax to the state, and then they would in turn send it to the federal government. No more tax returns, including your large one. I think you like that. I think businesses would like that. I think the American people would like that. This is not hard to understand. Talk to Huckabee. You supposedly became friends with Mike Huckabee. He understands it. But there are a lot of people that are strongly for a consumption tax. I'm not hung up about the details. I wish the rate could be a lot lower. I'll say that much. But we need a broad-based consumption tax that replaces all income taxes and also replaces all payroll taxes. And that means Social Security and Medicare. That's the big benefit to businesses, to individuals, the producers, if you will. The majority of the American people would pay no consumption taxes. My ballpark figure with my fair tax less, FTL, fair tax less, the rate is 20%, and they're already paying that, actually more right now when they buy a loaf of bread. But you do away with all income and payroll taxes, replace it with one consumption tax of 20% that's included in the price of a dollar loaf of bread. It's simple. No more tax returns. You pay it. Buy a dollar loaf of bread. There's no additional tax because you're already in that loaf of bread today is 23 cents. I would make it 20. Actually, a tax cut. And then every adult American citizen would get a tax prebate of $1,000 a month or $12,000 a year. That works out to, if you spend $60,000, and I'm sure you spend a lot more money, probably in a day, where most people, $60,000, they're lucky if they do that in a year or two. But up to $60,000, that prebate means offsets any taxes you pay when you buy that loaf of bread or whatever. 20% of $60,000 is $12,000. It's easy to explain. And roughly somewhere between 50 and 60% of the American people, as a result of that alone, don't pay any taxes. It's a tax reduction for the workers. And that's per person. Two adults, a mother and father, husband and wife, that means $120,000 in consumption they don't pay taxes for. Anything above that, everybody pays the same rate. It's transparent. It's fair. It's efficient. And the American people are behind it. And every time I explain it, they love it. Who wouldn't? You would love it. No more filing of several feet tall tax returns or paying your tax lawyers and accountants hundreds, if not millions of dollars a year to fill out this mess. This system took place in 1913. It's time to scrap it and place it with a 21st century tax system that's efficient, fair, transparent, and the people support it. And once they fall in love with this system, and they will repeal the income tax amendment and they'll never go back to it, and they'll hang any politician that even suggests it. And the only additional qualifier is, over time, that 20% rate should be reduced gradually down to 10%. That will take decades, because the second thing you need to do is balance the budget. But that's a show in and of itself. So without further ado, I want to play, and I'll comment upon his speech. Most people that have heard the speech, I've heard parts of it, really like it. They think it's outstanding, and so do I. Don't get the wrong impression. But you got to get a lot of things right. There's no magic silver bullet, but there's some very basic, important things that you got to get right. You need a very much pro-growth economic policy, and that's not slapping tariffs or going the protection route. Abraham Lincoln caused the Civil War by getting behind this huge increase in the tariff, more than doubled it, and that's why the South left. They wanted to set up a free trade zone because they were taking it in the ear. They were largely paying the taxes. They had a choice, either pay the taxes on goods coming from Great Britain or Europe, or pay much higher prices for American-produced goods. Sound familiar? That was your Abraham Lincoln. I know he has a nice memorial and all that. He freed the slaves. They didn't care about the slaves at all. What they cared about is protecting northern industry and socking it to and taking advantage of the southern states. And that's why they broke off from the Union. Now, I'm looking at the clock. I'm really short in time. I'll probably continue this tomorrow. But I want to start Mr. Trump's speech. And the reason I'm doing this is this speech was largely ignored, except for the comment that he did it in front of trash. Yeah, crushed trash of the press and big lie media and Clinton. Now, Donald Trump.
Thank you. I want to thank Rick Santorum, our senator, great senator, for being here and for the endorsement. We really appreciate it. And I have to say, all of the amazing workers, Gabe said they're the most important, the amazing workers. And I know you've been through some very, very tough times, but we're going to make it better, and we're going to make it better fast, okay? Just watch. So today I'm going to talk about how to make America wealthy again. Have to do it. We're 30 miles from Steel City. Pittsburgh played a central role in building our nation. The legacy of Pennsylvania steelworkers lives in the bridges, railways, and skyscrapers that make up our great American landscape. But our workers' loyalty was repaid, you know it better than anybody, with total betrayal. Our politicians have aggressively pursued a policy of globalization, moving our jobs, our wealth, and our factories to Mexico and overseas. Globalization has made the financial elite who donate to politicians very, very wealthy. I used to be one of them. Hate to say it, but I used to be one. But it's left millions of our workers with nothing but poverty and heartache. When subsidized foreign steel is dumped into our markets, threatening our factories, the politicians have proven, folks, have proven they do nothing. For years, they watched on the sidelines as our jobs vanished and our communities were plunged into depression-level unemployment. Many of these areas have still never recovered and never will unless I become president. Then they're going to recover fast. Our politicians took away from the people their means of making a living and supporting their families. Skilled craftsmen and tradespeople and factory workers have seen the jobs they loved shipped thousands and thousands of miles away. Many Pennsylvania towns, once thriving and humming, are now in a state of total disrepair. This wave of globalization has wiped out totally our middle class. It doesn't have to be this way. We can turn it around. And we can turn it around fast. But if we're going to deliver real change, we're going to have to reject the campaign of fear and intimidation being pursued by powerful corporations, media elites, and political dynasties. The people who rigged the system for their benefit will do anything and say anything to keep things exactly the way they are. The people who rigged the system are supporting Hillary Clinton because they know as long as she is in charge, nothing's going to change. The inner cities will remain poor. The factories will remain closed. The borders will remain open. The special interests will remain firmly in control. Hillary Clinton and her friends in global finance want to scare America into thinking small. And they want to scare American people out of voting for the better future. And you have a great future, folks. You have a great future. These people have given her tens of millions of dollars. My campaign has the absolute opposite message. I want you to imagine a much better life and a life where you can believe in the American dream again. Right now, you can't do that. I want you to imagine how much better our future can be if we declare independence from the elites who led us from one financial and foreign policy disaster to another. Our friends in Britain recently voted to take back control of their economy, politics, and borders. I was on the right side of that issue, as you know, with the people. I was there. I said it was going to happen. I felt it. While Hillary, as always, stood with the elites, and both she and President Obama predicted that one and many others totally wrong. Now it's time for the American people to take back their future. I'm going to take it back. That's the choice we face. We can either give in to Hillary Clinton's campaign of fear, or we can choose to believe again in America. Very sadly, we lost our way when we stopped believing in our country. America became the world's dominant economy by becoming the world's dominant producer. You know that from right here, right in this plant. The wealth this created was shared broadly, creating the biggest middle class the world has ever known. But then America changed its policy from promoting development in America, in America, to promoting development in other nations. That's what's happening, and that's what's happened. We allowed foreign countries to subsidize their goods, devalue their currencies, violate their agreements, and cheat in every way imaginable. And our politicians did nothing about it. Trillions of our dollars and millions of our jobs flowed overseas as a result. I have visited cities and towns across this country where a third or even half of manufacturing jobs have been wiped out in the last 20 years. Today we import nearly 800 billion more in goods than we export. Can't continue to do that. This is not some natural disaster. It's a political and politician made disaster. Very simple. And it can be corrected. And we can correct it fast when we have people with the right thinking right up here. It is the consequence of a leadership class that worships globalism over Americanism. This is a direct affront to our founding fathers, who America wanted to be strong. They wanted this country to be strong, and they wanted it to be independent, and they wanted it to be free. Our founding fathers understood trade much better than our current politicians, believe me. George Washington said that the promotion of domestic manufacturing will be among the first consequences to flow from an energetic government. Alexander Hamilton spoke frequently of the expediency of encouraging manufacturing in the United States. And listen to this. The first Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, warned that, quote, the abandonment of the protective policy by the American government will produce want and ruin among our people. He understood it much better than our current politicians. That's why he was Abraham Lincoln, I guess. Our original Constitution did not even have an income tax. Instead, it had tariffs, emphasizing taxation of foreign, not domestic, production. Yet today, 240 years after the Revolution, we've turned things completely upside down. We tax and regulate and restrict our companies to death, and then we allow foreign countries that cheat to export their goods to us tax-free. How stupid is this? How can it happen? How stupid is this? As a result, we have become more dependent on foreign countries than ever before. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to declare our economic independence once again. That means voting for Donald Trump. I'll do it, no doubt about it, not even a little doubt. It also means reversing two of the worst legacies of the Clinton years. America has lost nearly one-third of its manufacturing jobs since 1997, even as the country has increased its population, think of this, by 50 million people. At the center of this catastrophe are two trade deals pushed by Bill and Hillary Clinton. First, the North American Free Trade Agreement, or the disaster called NAFTA. Second, China's entry into the World Trade Organization. NAFTA was the worst trade deal in the history. It's like the history of this country. And China's entrance into the World Trade Organization has enabled the greatest job theft in the history of our country. It was Bill Clinton who signed NAFTA. People don't remember. In 1993, and Hillary Clinton, who supported it, and the havoc that it wreaked after he left office was unbelievable. It was also Bill Clinton who lobbied for China's disastrous entry into the World Trade Organization, and Hillary Clinton who backed that terrible, terrible agreement. Then, as Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton stood by idly while China cheated on its currency, added another $1 trillion to our trade deficits, and stole hundreds of billions of dollars in our intellectual property. And I've been talking about China for many years. And you know what? Nobody listened, but they're listening now. That I can tell you.
Tomorrow I'll play the rest of the speech. This will be a two-part show. This is part one. I agree with most of what Donald Trump said. There are some points that need to be emphasized, though. Yes, NAFTA has some very, let us say, negative effects, but it has some very positive effects. Our leading trade partners are Canada and Mexico. Our trade after NAFTA, for example, with Mexico, increased by about 600%, from roughly $40 billion to $240 billion. That means jobs, jobs, jobs for Americans. Someone had to produce those goods and services. And that's a dramatic expansion of production just to one country, Mexico. And remember, we're a much larger country, a much richer country than Mexico. And what happened to Mexico? Their exports to the United States increased by over 800%, which means some years we have deficits. But both countries benefit. The people of both countries benefit by cheaper goods and services. Yes, some companies, industries got hurt because they weren't competitive. So this is not as black and white as Mr. Trump would make it out. Where I agree with him is China is definitely cheating in the currency area by undervaluing its currency. The net effect is it makes their goods and services, largely goods, a lot cheaper. Because if their currency was fairly valued, the price of the goods and services would be much higher. It would still mean U.S. manufacturers would have to compete on a global basis. So yes, I agree with Mr. Trump. We need to make sure that free trade is fair trade. There's no disagreement here. It's how you go about correcting the situation. And there's a mechanism to go after China, and we haven't exercised it. They are a currency manipulator. They are cheating. Mr. Trump is 100% right on that. But the answer, folks, is not to slap on a much higher tariff. Competition is what makes America great. So U.S. companies, no matter what industry, manufacturing, services, and the U.S. economy today is largely a service industry, has to compete not only domestically, but internationally. And we can. And we were and should be the leading country in the world. And that means attracting capital back. It means increasing the formation of businesses by entrepreneurs. The problem and what's dragging down U.S. business is the fact that the government is way too large. It's out of control. We see it in the high levels of the national debt, which will hit $20 trillion by next year, probably before Obama leaves. The massive deficits year in, year out of hundreds of billions, that's living beyond the means. The problem is the government. The government needs to be downsized, and the private sector needs to be upsized. That's what's out of whack, and that's why we have the highest income tax rates in the world. We're overtaxed because the government spending is out of control. And Mr. Trump, you're going to have to explain how you're going to balance the budget and when. And the second part of that is how you're going to collect the revenues. Scrap the income tax system. Do away with capital gains. Do away with corporate income taxes, personal income taxes, gift and estate taxes. Scrap it. It's legacy. It's inefficient, complicated, no one understands it. That and regulation are the two areas where the government needs to be downsized. Do away with the IRS by replacing it with a broad-based consumption tax that probably would require several hundred people to collect the revenue, not tens of thousands. And the American people would cheer. You need to rethink your tax plan. It's okay. It's a B. But, sir, it's not an A, and it's certainly not an A+. So taxes and regulation are the key, and yes, make the people that are cheating, such as China, by manipulating their currency, pay for it. That's why the Chinese and other foreign countries are giving money to the Clintons when Bill ran and now. They're corrupt politicians that were bought and paid for. And I would drop the reference to Abraham Lincoln. He was a bought and paid for politician. And what did he do? He doubled the tariffs to 47%, and we got the Civil War. Scratch that from your speech. Abraham Lincoln killed hundreds of millions of Americans. Why? To increase taxes for the South. The American people want lower taxes, less regulations. They want to be left alone to prosper. So tomorrow I'll play the end of the two parts. That was roughly a third of the speech. So I'll play the both parts, and then I'll comment upon it as well. Thank you for listening, and now America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.